O Lord our God, you have given your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Bless Pastor Sherry as she preaches, that through her we might receive your truth in faith and love and honor you by the way we respond. Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 41. Listen for God's word to the church. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We give thanks for the reading and hearing of God's holy word.
And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you not have faith?" Jesus spoke these words to his disciples who thought they were sinking in the middle of a terrible storm at sea. But I wonder, is he speaking to you and to me? We know that storms are coming. Quite literally, in the hurricane season with Hannah and Ike, and also figuratively, in the form of the challenges and the chaos of life. Storms are coming. There are many reasons to be afraid. Some of them can be named, like the fear of illness or the loss of a loved one, or fear of political and economic uncertainty in this election year. Some fears are more elusive. As one person quite honestly said, "I really don't know what I'm afraid of. I have this nameless, shapeless anxiety that hovers over everything I do and say. It is robbing me of my energy and my happiness. I feel helpless and hopeless." In our autumn sermon series that we've entitled Courage, we're going to be looking at many different stories in the Bible that hopefully will help us to get a handle on what it means to walk by faith in anxious times. Our theme verse for this Courage series is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Sometimes I believe it's just one faith handle or foothold that we need to steady us through difficult times and to guide us into the hope of a brighter tomorrow. Our hope and our prayer for this sermon series is that we would all be empowered to live with more trust and more courage because we believe God will act in our lives to strengthen us and to help us. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Well, we all know that that is easier said than done. What is it really that causes us to place our trust in someone, or in capital S, someone? Even those fishermen who had the capital S someone in the boat with them had difficulty trusting when the going got tough. In today's story, the disciples and Jesus have had an exhausting day teaching and ministering to the crowds. But now it's evening, and the day is almost over, and Jesus has finished teaching, and he's ready for a rest. And so they set out for the other side of the sea at Jesus' request to get a little bit of peace. And out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a great windstorm kicks up, and the waves begin to beat over the sides of the boat so much faster than those fishermen could bail them out. And just to give you an idea of what they were facing, as recently as 1992, a windstorm in the Sea of Galilee raised 10-foot waves that crashed into the town of Tiberias, causing significant damage there. And there have been reports of 10 to 20-foot swells on that sea. Just imagine what it would have been like in the dark of the night in a small, probably 26-foot, flat-bottom wooden boat with one mast and a square sail. We have always known the great power of the sea. One of God's creative works was to hover or brood over the sea so that the waters would part and the dry land would appear. And the constant threat to those over the centuries who dared travel along the water's surface was that the power of the deep might swell up and overtake them. That was what was happening in our story today. And obviously, that was what was causing those disciples to panic. And where was Jesus? He was sleeping on what was now probably a very soggy cushion in the back of the boat. Those disciples finally decide to wake Jesus up. And I don't think they did that because they needed his help in trying to save the boat. They were lifelong sailors, and they knew that Jesus was just a city boy, and it was probably better for him to stay out of their way on that cushion while they were trying to save the ship. No, they woke Jesus up because they knew they were sinking, and there was no more hope. They woke him up to accuse him of indifference. "Teacher, do you not even care that we're perishing?" They need to know that the one whom they have given up everything for to follow at least cares that they are all about to die. You know, the appealing part of that image I mentioned earlier about God's Spirit brooding over the chaos of creation is the idea that God cares enough to brood. When we are in the midst of chaos and despair, we want to know that someone is concerned. The concern of the disciples is whether or not Jesus cares enough to brood over them in this moment between life and death. And of course, he did. After Jesus wakes up, he immediately, the first thing he does, is to speak three simple words to the wind and to the waves. "Peace, be still." And instantly, Scripture tells us, there was a dead calm. And that was an epiphany moment for those disciples in the boat, because then and there, they knew who Jesus was. They were looking eyeball to eyeball at the living God. Many versions read that at that moment, ours said they had great awe, but many read they had great fear, greater, I think, than when they were sinking. In fact, some versions say they were terrified. They knew who Jesus was because only God has mastery over nature. Only divinity itself could sleep with such confidence in a sinking ship. And if Jesus had such power over the wind and the waves, what kind of power might he have over them? A great wave of fear overcame them. "Peace, be still." Those words of Jesus were as much for them as they were for the wind and the waves. This week in my studies, I learned about an interesting tradition practiced by the British Navy that it's called sounding the still. If there is a sudden disaster aboard ship, the still is blown, and I'm not talking about whiskey here. When the crew hears a shrill 8-second note from the bosun's pipe that ends abruptly, they know they have been called to attention in total silence until receiving further orders. When the still is sounded, sailors know that it means prepare to do the wise thing, whatever the circumstance might be. Observers of this system have noted that that moment of calm has prevented many hasty actions and helped to avoid many a catastrophe at sea. The power of the still. It's amazing what you can do when you have power and you can claim it. It's amazing what you can do when you know the value of stillness and you practice it. When you do not give in to panic, but you hear the words of Jesus spoken with authority, peace, be still, and you can apply them to your own life. I had a glimpse of what this might be like when I was in Uganda in 1985 on a short-term medical mission, and I know I've shared this story in here before, but I just have to tell it again. When my colleague, my fellow nurse, and I were being driven in a small jeep back to the city after living and conducting injection immunization clinics out in the remote villages of Uganda, we were stopped every few miles at military checkpoints where two or three men would be pointing machine guns at us while they asked us what our purpose was for being there. At first, I was terrified, but then I can distinctly remember thinking, there is absolutely nothing I can do about what is happening to me right now. I am safe in God's hands, whether it is in this world or the next. And at that moment, the most amazing sense of peace flooded over me, the like of which I have never before experienced, and maybe have never experienced quite to that extent since. Peace. Be still. Novelist and Presbyterian pastor Frederick Buechner says that, quote, we have within us, each one of us, so much more power than we ever spend. Such misers of miracles are we. Such pinch-penny guardians of grace. And I know what he means. We have the very spirit of Jesus living in us. And yet most of the time we act like he is sleeping on the job and doesn't even care about our circumstances. Why are you so afraid? Asks Jesus. Do you still not have faith? It's difficult. Even though I had that experience in Uganda, it's hard for me to hold on to that assurance of peace, of the peace of Christ in my life every day, day in, day out. I believe that we forget that the reason Jesus could sleep in that boat was because he was filled with the power of God to overcome any difficult circumstance. We forget that his power is available to us, that in fact his power is in us. Do you trust this sleeping Jesus to be there for you when you need him the most? When you are in the doctor's office awaiting a diagnosis, are you willing to trust a sleeping Jesus? When you are in the middle of a bitter dispute, are you willing to trust a sleeping Jesus? When you are making a change in your career path, are you willing to trust that sleeping Jesus? When you experience a devastating loss or trauma of any kind, are you willing to trust that sleeping Jesus? Beloved friends, as contemporary disciples of Jesus, from time to time, we too need to be reminded of who rules the wind and the waves, because the storms are coming. Sometimes we don't know we are even in one until we get out of it, and our souls look back and wonder how it was we even survived. Storms are coming. Some storms are unexpected. We can't forecast them. Others are self-produced. We know how to avoid them, but something within us keeps holding on to what is unhealthy or unhappy. Storms are coming. But whatever type of storm it is you may be dealing with or you will be dealing with, Jesus provides a means for each of us, just like our brothers on the boat that evening, to ride out the storm. When storms come upon us, I believe that we need to sound the still and to take pause to seek shelter in the safe harbor of our faith. Storms are coming. But if we allow Jesus to rest in the place of honor in our lives, in our hearts, our souls, and our minds, we will have that blessed assurance that all will be well and all manner of things will be well. For the one who brooded over the waters of creation, the one who wanted to gather all of the children of Israel under his wings like a hen gathers her chicks, the one who stilled the waters for his beloved disciples, this is the one who knows you by name. This is the one who calls you beloved, who died for you, that you might find life and live it to the fullest. Friends, take courage. Listen for the voice above the storms, above the wind and the waves, as Jesus speaks peace into your life and into this world. Let us pray. When the storms of life rage all around us, dear Lord, may your Spirit steady us. When we feel like anxiety is hovering around us and in us, remind us that your loving Spirit is brooding over us to care and to lead and to guide us through the storm. Help us to sound the still and to hear your still small voice speaking peace into our lives and into our world, giving us courage and guiding us into all hope. Through Christ our Lord, that great stiller of our storms, we pray. Amen.